Welcome to episode 8 of the Two Guys, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Matt Leach, also known as Leachman. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy J. Monster Fowler. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Hello, I'm not so bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, thank you. So the weather's getting a bit warmer, so I'm glad about that.
Yes, trying to decide when it wants to be spring, but I don't know.
Yes, you know when spring will be sprung because, you know, still you get the frosts in the morning and it'll be nice and warm in during the daytime. That's spring for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, not a weatherman. I'm not a trained weatherman. So I think we're going to jump straight into the gaming news. I'll go first because I've got only a couple. One of the interesting things that came out in the last couple of days, I think it was, is a Gears of War collection looks to have been either leaked from a PS5 listing on the back end of the PS store, which is interesting that it's going to be coming to PS5 and it's going to be PS5 Pro enhanced, apparently.
Oh.
But it won't have multiplayer. Okay. Which is interesting. It's the first three games, so Gears 1, 2, and 3, coming to PlayStation as part of a collection, which will also launch on Xbox Series and PC, set to scheduled perhaps in mid-August this year. So that's an interesting thing. I mean, I really enjoyed the Gears games on 360 when I had one. The first one just blew my mind. Me and my brother played the multiplayer on it. And I think it was the first multiplayer game that we played together. I think we did all of the campaign. We did it over about a couple of weeks when he was free, when I was free, because kids were only young. I mean, going back to 2006, was it?
Yeah,
that sounds right. And it was my first proper multiplayer experience, I think, with somebody that I knew. And it was quite, we enjoyed it. And I enjoyed Gears 2 and Gears 3. I've played Gears 4 and I played about an hour or two of Gears 5. So if it comes to PS5, I probably will play it again.
Yeah.
And it's Pro enhanced, not that I've got a Pro and I don't intend getting one anytime soon.
No.
If it's Pro enhanced and I get a Pro later on down the line, which might happen or might happen, don't know. That'd be good to take advantage of that. So that was an interesting story. Literally breaking news. Somebody's found out or somebody has been told or asked about how long Assassin's Creed Shadow is and how long to get the platinum. Mm-hmm. Apparently the game is between 30 to 40 hours long to complete.
Okay.
And it will take you over 80 hours to get the platinum.
Oh.
Which is a drop in the ocean, considering it took me 160 hours to get the platinum for Valhalla, because that game was ridiculously bloated. That game, it made you do so much to get the platinum.
It's not really the same genre of that game, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got the platinum for the last three Assassin's Creed games, so that's Mirage, Valhalla, Odyssey. I've got the platinum for those three. I didn't get it for Origins because I think there was a few trophies that I've got yet to get. And one of them involves getting 100% of everything, of all the locations, which I'd not done. And you've got to fight some specific enemies, which only appear late in the game, which is why I didn't get it for Origins. I could go back and do it, but I lost my PS4 save for Origins, which means I'd have to play the entire game again to get where I need to get to. And I'm not really prepared to do that. That'll be one of those ones that I won't platinum. But that's a couple of my stories. So what you got this week?
So this week I've got that the PS3 is getting a system update in 2025. Now, bearing in mind the PS3...
People using PS3s? I suppose there must be.
Well, yeah, so the machine itself was discontinued by Sony in 2017. And they were going to disconnect it from the online services back in 2021, and then they reversed the decision, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So this update presumably is something to do with the Blu-ray player, just to kind of keep it up to date. So I thought
that's
that was
interesting. Again, there must be maybe it's some kind of licensing thing on the PS3 that it'll only keep the Blu-ray player alive if this patch is applied.
So yeah, I wasn't going to dwell on that particularly long, but I thought it was worth a mention. There is a beta program for the PS5 and PC games that you can sign up for on the PlayStation UK page at the moment.
Okay.
So I signed up for that a little bit earlier on. I don't really know what exactly it'll involve, but I signed up for it all the same just to see what happens.
So what kind of betas are we talking about? Any betas? Or...
I don't know. It just says beta program at PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's necessarily game specific. Whether it's sort of thing like Xbox used to do, where if they're like trialing some new features for the PS5, you get to try them out sort of before they've launched properly to the public, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, that there was it the Xbox preview program? Is that what it
was? Yeah, I was thinking along that kind of lines. Yeah.
So people like testing out the UI for the Xbox console before it gets released. They do the same thing for iPhones and iPads and Android. One of the guys I used to work with, about 10 years ago now, he was a tester for Apple, and he'd get the iOS latest version like a month before anybody else, so he could test it on his devices and go feed it back to Apple, and then they tweak it before they release it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then I've just got one more, which is that Capcom announced that Monster Hunter Wilds has sold over 8 million units in the first 3 days on sale.
And it's only been out for, a week and a half?
Not even a week yet. Last Friday it came out.
Last Friday? Oh, yeah, it's not even a week yet, is it? Wow. I'm a week ahead of myself for some reason. I don't know. So in less than a week, it sold 8 million copies.
Wow. Yeah, and bear in mind that World, the predecessor, sold 20 million in 7 years. I've seen some analysts quoted as saying they think Wilds, if it keeps at this pace, will eclipse World sales in its first year of release.
Yeah, it sounds like it might do. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is amazing, isn't it? Obviously, a lot of people. I think with the greater accessibility with the game, which you probably speak about when you talk about what we've been playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's and with the beta and everything that came out and people being able to test it, I think a lot of new players have jumped into it.
Yeah.
Which is probably what, and because it's available across platforms and cross play as well.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people have jumped on that, which is it's really good. Yeah. Congratulations to Capcom.
Yeah, it's cool. I think weirdly, Monster Hunter is their biggest franchise these days, like bigger than Resident Evil, bigger than Street Fighter, which is mad.
It's mad, isn't it? Oh, you would have thought it'd be Resident Evil, but clearly Monster Hunter is more popular.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that probably leads us nicely into what we've been playing. Now I'm going to let you go and just talk about your experience with Wilds. So go for
it. Okay. All right. So I did 15 hours straight on launch day last Friday. So I played from 8 in the morning until 11 at night, only stopping to eat and go to the toilet. Finished the campaign on day 2, because the campaign's like 15 to 20 hours. But to be honest, anyone who's played a Monster Hunter game will tell you that the campaign's kind of it's almost a glorified tutorial, really. It's
low rank. Does it roll credits when you finish the campaign?
Yes, I rolled credits on Saturday, yeah. But then you've got all of high rank to go through after that. And there was even... So there's 6 story chapters in total, and first 4 are the campaign, and then you roll credits, and there's still 2 more story chapters left after you roll credits. You're sort of on the verge of high rank and things like that. And then you've got like tempered monsters, which are like the sort of end game as far as the base game goes. I mean, it's not anywhere near end game to what it will be later on when the expansion comes out a year down the line.
Yeah.
But it's about as end game as it has at the moment.
Did anything change with the that since the beta? Have they changed anything? Did you notice any major changes?
It's definitely smoother. I'm playing on performance mode, and it doesn't really like come down from like 60 frames a second if you play on performance mode. If you play on resolution mode, you get 30, and the balance mode gives you 45.
Right,
like a little weird half measure.
Yeah, 45 frames a second is a bit of a weird thing playing it, isn't it?
But the thing is that playing on performance at 60 frames a second means lose out on like the reflections and the water and stuff like that. And I'm not really that bothered about all that kind of stuff. Like when you mid battle with a monster, you don't really think about, oh, look at how pretty that water is.
No, it's not the kind of things you notice. Yeah, it's a bit like the burger in Resident Evil 2 remake with the lorry driver. You're like, first time you see it, you're like, wow, that looks amazing. And then having completed that game 7 times, I can tell you by the 3rd time you're seeing it, it's like, you look, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's the same. You've got the food, the meal animation in Wilds is really impressive. I've watched it the first time and then skipped it every single time since.
Yeah. Once you've seen it once, you've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah. Like the first time you watch it, you'd be like, oh, I really want cheesy naans now. But then after that, you're just not bothered anymore. You just skip it every single time.
I mean, the meals, how much does that contribute towards your attributes while you're fighting? Is it just boost them? Is it significant boost?
Boost them, but also it makes your health and stamina bar to the max as long as you've eaten. And you might get like a defense buff, be a little bit more strong against like the water and fire and thunder and
so like the special abilities kind of thing you're talking about.
Element, that's what I was trying to say.
Elemental abilities.
Elemental attacks that monsters will do, that they might be a thunder monster or a fire monster or something like that. You might get +5 defense to them as well, which will help you out a little bit if your armor's weak to that particular element.
Is there a monster that flies around that you can jump on it while it's flying around? Is that a thing?
I mean, when you say flying around, do you mean like it sort of hovers on the battlefield? But it doesn't
flying in the sky?
No, well, not that you can jump on.
No,
it might fly in the sky to land in the area that you're in.
Yeah.
But there's
no Shadow of the Colossus, there's a Colossus or Colossi that you have to fight, that it's flying in the air while you're fighting it.
Okay, there's nothing like that.
And you're on its back and it's in the sky while you're fighting it. It's crazy. It does come down towards the ground because it has to. So you can jump onto it, and then did you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
No.
Wow. Okay. We'll talk about that. I might maybe. I suppose it might be Retro Corner, the original PS2 version, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I didn't play on PS2. I played it on PS3 originally. Anyway, I'm diverting from your Monster Hunter talk. Sorry.
That's all right. I was going to say about you asking about the flying thing. You have to think about that. Monster Hunter is a game that's set for co-op. Everything you do in the game has to be doable in 4-player. At the same time or in real time. Mm-hmm. So things like a flying monster to take you way up into the air wouldn't really work.
Okay, fair enough. I just thought maybe it was a thing, because that would be quite intriguing, like how to take it down while it's flying around in the air and you've got like 4 of you climbing around it.
You'd be hanging on for dear life. And
fair enough.
But yeah, I think I've done 38 hours so far since last Friday.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And although it's got cross-play, it's not got cross-save.
Right, okay, so you couldn't, like, play in the PS5 version, then jump over to the Xbox and jump over to PC?
Not the same character, no.
No.
So I have actually got both versions of the game. So my 38 hours on the PlayStation, and then about 3 on the Xbox so far.
I didn't realise you bought the Xbox version as well. Wow. That's good. I like that. You've got 2 different versions of the same game.
Yeah.
Is your character build the same on each one, or have you changed
it? So on PlayStation, I'm doing Switch Axe and Light Bowgun, because you've got your 2 weapons that you can just swap to whenever you want. And Xbox, I've just literally been doing Light Bowgun, haven't been doing a melee weapon at all.
How many hours do you put into the Xbox version?
I got 3, 3.5.
Oh, okay. So you barely touched it then.
Yeah. Not much compared to the PlayStation version, though.
No, fair enough. Cool.
So the only other thing I've been playing a little bit this week is Balatro.
This is this ridiculously addictive card game that I've heard about.
Yeah, so it's weirdly like a sort of mixture between solitaire and poker, but it's a roguelike.
Right.
And I'm only playing it because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's as well as on Switch, PlayStation, PC, and it's on phone as well. I think if you play it on your mobile, it's like £10.
On the mobile phone?
Yeah, $9.99.
No, thanks.
I've been playing that a little bit on Game Pass because my friend Kyle Discobiva recommended it to me because he really likes it. And he was trying to give me some pointers, because when I first started, it was like, well, surely it's just poker. But it's not just poker. It's using some of the rules of poker, but you have to like up your ante, which is like the sort of, I guess, level.
by winning rounds, and you have to hit the target number to win the round, and that may put your ante up. And to win a run in its entirety, you have to get your ante up to 8. I haven't managed to do that yet. The first I've got so far is 5.
Right. It seems
so far 5 is my limit. I can't really get further. I'm not massively into poker.
Yeah.
I have a vague understanding of like the hands and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really been into card games per se. We played poker when I was at university. We did it for like 1p's and 2p's around the kitchen table in the university accommodation.
And this wasn't strip poker with girls?
No, nothing like that. Nothing dodgy like that. The only real card game that I really got into properly was Gwent.
Right.
In The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
And I've actually got a physical Gwent board with physical Gwent cards. I went that far. And I have played with one of my friends rounds of Gwents.
And to a lesser individual Gwent game as well, the one that's separate from The Witcher.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that version. I tried it. I did not like it. I liked the version that's in The Witcher 3. That's the version that I like.
Okay. Well, what's the difference with the standalone one?
The difference with the standalone was they changed the way that the battles form up, and there was all sorts of these extra. It was almost like it was designed for like a monetized version of it.
Right.
That's what I didn't like about it. There were all these bells and whistles, and it just, you know, just give me Gwent. Oh, that's all I want. And this was like a super monetized version of it that I could, that I felt it was anyway. Right. The only other card game that I kind of was interested in, again, was in a video game, is Queen's Blood in Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Right.
That's quite a good card game. But physical card games like poker and blackjack, although that's not really per se, whatever it's called, you know. Whist, that's what it's called, Whist.
Right.
I've never really been into that. But Balatro, I've heard about this. It's very addictive, apparently. And you have to get these jokers in. The aim is to get...
So the jokers will, like, sort of give you multipliers to make your score bigger.
Yeah.
And you can only have, like, I think it's 5, something like that. I don't know, it's a bit of a change of pace from Monster Hunter, because that's pretty much all I'm playing at the moment.
Yeah.
I stuck Blackthorn on for, like, half an hour today and still can get past Anti-5.
Right.
But I don't see myself getting, like, proper hooked on it, or buying the phone version or anything like that. But it's good. I can stick a podcast on at the same time while I play it. And
yeah.
Like, not to think too hard.
No, so you can just like stick on for 5 minutes or stick on.
As long as you want to.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much legs it will have and how much it will feature again on the podcast. But that's the other thing I've been playing this week, apart from the hours and hours of Monster Hunter.
Yes, of course.
What about you?
So I've been playing quite a lot of Lies of P.
Mm-hmm.
I've made it all the way to the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I spent a good chunk of time over the weekend trying to defeat the Nameless Puppet, which is the last boss of the game, the last true boss.
Secret boss, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't defeat it. And then I booted it up last night, did it first time.
Did you point out that you were trying it for hours and hours before that, the last time? And then came back to it a day later or so, and then just did it first time.
Yeah, first time, yeah.
Right.
Which got me the Rise of P ending.
Right.
And also, I got a couple of other trophies. You have to go back to Hotel Krat and play on the piano, and you get a trophy for doing that.
Yeah.
You also got a trophy for enhancing your special weapon up to the maximum ability, which is +5 for a special weapon. So I got those trophies.
Right.
And then I thought, well, I'm going to have a break from it, and then immediately went into New Game Plus.
In fact, you've messaged me to say I'm having a break from it for a bit.
Yeah, and then
a few hours later, you were like, I made it to Hotel Krat. I was like, what happened to your break?
Yeah. Although I haven't played it today, I must admit. So I am now in New Game Plus, and I will get the platinum when I reach the end of New Game Plus. So I've got to go through the entire game again, defeat all the bosses in New Game Plus, because there's certain collectibles that you can only get in New Game Plus. They are the golden records. They only exist in New Game Plus. And also collect all the, for want of a better word, all the souls or ergo of each of the bosses. So I can craft the rest of the special weapons at the end of the game, which will be the last trophy that I probably get, I think. And then I should have the platinum. So maybe by the next time we record, although special announcement, we've got a podcast special next week, which is going to be Monster Hunter Wilds exclusive. And we're hoping to have our good friends from the So Video Games podcast, Brad Galloway, on there to talk about Monster Hunter Wilds. So that's what we're going to be doing. So look out for next week's episode, episode 9, that's going to be. So yeah, Liza P, pretty much what I've been playing. And I played a little bit of Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I've got to World 5 now, which is Fungi World, Fungini World, something like that, which is like, it is a really good game, that. Like, we discussed before, it's a really good 2D, like, say, probably the best 2D game since Super Mario, was it World?
World on Super Nintendo,
Yeah, it's really good game. I want to complete it. I've not played it for ages. I booted it up earlier on this evening and played it for half hour, 45 minutes or so, just to get familiar with it. It is a really good, fun game. And it's not frustrating either. Not like Donkey Kong Country Returns HD. That could get a bit frustrating, that game.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to go back to that a little bit, and I just end up using the Super Kongs all the time. And it's just like, well, I'm just watching the gameplay itself. I'm not actually playing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll manage to do a level and then come across two that I can't do and get the Super Kong to do it. And then maybe do another level and then get it to do it for me again the next two. It's like, well, I'm not actually playing this game.
I'm actually playing. I'm just watching it being played.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I don't blame it. It is a very challenging platform game.
Yeah.
But whereas Super Mario Brothers Wonder is actually very accessible. You know, it's not mega, mega easy, but it's very, it takes it easy on you, as in, you know, there are real challenging levels if you want to do them, but you don't have to do them.
Yeah, so, but also if you're playing as Yoshi, that's about as easy as it'll get. You can't really make any easier than that.
Not really, no. But you can still die, like, in the level. It just doesn't get as hurt as much.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It isn't, like, if you're Mario or any other characters, then obviously they go small, and if they get hit again, they die. Yeah. Whereas Yoshi, he just kind of flashes when he gets hit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, but one of the levels I was on, you turn into like this blob of slime, and you can go around like the level on the climbing on the walls, which I thought
was really cool. You stick to the
It was really good.
Yeah,
it's really well done by and it reminded me, because the boos are in that level, and I thought, because I completed Luigi Mansion 3 and I really enjoyed that game, and they re-released, it was either Luigi Mansion 2 or the original on, was it 2, was it, on the Switch, which I thought, I've not played that, because that came out on the DS originally.
On the 3DS,
Yeah, so I think I might maybe get a version of Luigi's Mansion 2 and play that. That might be my next Switch game, because I really enjoyed 3. I thought 3 was excellent. Very, very good game. And I think in Luigi's Mansion 3, there's actually, if you get a ranking, I think you have to get S ranking, which means you have to do everything in the game, which I didn't do. I think I got a B ranking. But yeah. So yeah, that's what I've been playing this week. So it's good to get off Liza P, even though I've been enjoying chasing the platinum. You know, those kinds of games, they kind of just, it can be a bit, you know, hardcore, and then you just go and play something completely nice and laid back, like Super Mario Brothers Wonder. You know what I mean? So Retro Corner this week. The one I've picked this week is a game called the Chaos Engine, which I played on the Amiga 500, I think it was. Really good game by the Bitmap Brothers, who were quite well known for games in the Amiga era. They did Speedball 2, They did Chaos Engine and the Chaos Engine 2, plus a few other games. And this version actually came out on... It did come out on the SNES. There was a SNES version.
Oh, really?
There was a SNES version, yeah. It came out on the Atari ST. It came out on the Amiga CD32. And it came out on the Mega Drive, believe it or not.
Right, cool.
So there were those versions. It's a really good kind of top-down shooter. You go through levels and you can play as different, like... characters in the game, so you can either be like a you can be a thug, you can be a brigand, a mercenary, a gentleman, and like a preacher or a scientist. They're like the character types, and they've all got different types of guns and different abilities. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the game is, you know, you start at one end of a level and you have to make it to a checkpoint at the end of the level. The enemy's kind of attacking you. You can pick up like power-ups along the way and health pickups and that kind of thing. Very much like a top-down 2D kind of shoot 'em up game.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable game. Me and my brother played it on the Amiga, and we really enjoyed it.
What year did you say it came out?
It came out in 1993.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so early 90s.
Yeah.
And I think there was a PC version as well. I think it says an MS-DOS version. Yeah,
there was
a PC version. It was a really good game from Bitmap Brothers. It's so good they made a sequel, Chaos Engine 2, which I never actually played because I've moved on to, what did I have in 1996? I think I had an N64. So that was about the same year that I got a PlayStation, and I got PlayStation 1 the following year. I got PlayStation 1 in 97, so it didn't come out on PlayStation.
No.
Chaos Engine, really good game. I think you might be able to play it on Good Old Games if you go there, but there's no modern way of playing it, I don't think, these retro games that we pick, there doesn't seem to be any, you know, really good way of playing it in the modern era, unfortunately.
All the sort of services that we've got these days to legally play old games are pretty limited.
Very limited.
Overall. And so a lot of them, your only option really is to emulate.
Yeah. Yeah. That is that. But Nintendo want to stop that with all theirs, don't they? Like, a lot of people play GameCube games emulated, don't they? Wii stuff emulated to get the better graphics. But Nintendo want to stop all that stuff because it's their property. Fine, you can stop it, but give us a way to play the games. Do you know what I mean? But are there any Wii games you can play on the Switch that, you know, are online? There isn't, is there? There's a few ports from the Wii and Wii U, but there's nothing, you know, if you want the original Wii version, like I've got borrowed the Wii U off you so I can play Metroid Prime 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way to play those games unless you emulate on a PC. That's the only way.
I mean, it's a little bit on the side, but did you see that... the first game from NSO is getting removed?
No.
Yeah.
Which is it? Which one? Which game is it?
Super Soccer, which was out on Super Nintendo originally, so I don't think that'll be anything you'll particularly miss.
No, I wouldn't, but you're paying for a service. It's like...
Well, yeah, it just sets a bit of a precedent, doesn't it?
Why do they do this? They make you want to pay for their service, and you pay for it because you want access to the games, and then they take them off.
Yeah.
Well, Game Pass, they did the same thing with Game Pass, didn't they? Periodically remove games from that.
Yeah.
Right, Lies of P was on Game Pass, and it's not anymore.
Right, yeah.
They did the same thing with PlayStation Plus as well, exact same thing. Yeah. I've actually, my PlayStation Plus is up for renewal, and I've gone down to the lowest tier, which is the...
Essential
tier, which is the same tier that you're on, I think.
It is, yeah, that's what I've got.
I was on originally I was on the top tier a couple of years ago.
A lot of money, though.
Yeah, I was on top tier, and then I dropped down to the middle tier, which is extra, and I haven't really been using it over the past year, so I've gone down to the essential for the next 12 months.
Yeah, well, it's just that if you wanted to renew on the top one, it's like 100 and something quid, isn't it?
£130 a year now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Not cheap.
No. Not at all.
So that's why. I mean, even the essential, the bottom tier, is like, is it 50 or 60 quid a year?
60. I mean, I bought it from the PlayStation Network. I probably could have got it cheaper on CD keys.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be that much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. someone told me I should renew nearer to Black Friday or Cyber Monday because there's more deals going on then.
Okay.
Which is probably not a bad shout. But I'll just get a year again, probably.
Yeah.
So what are your retro game this week?
So mine this week is WWF Superstars on the Game Boy, which was published by LJN in 1991. But it was actually developed by Rare.
Okay.
And
you played quite a few wrestling games back in the day, didn't you? This must be, I think it was like the third game you'd have done as a retro game wrestling.
Really? I did WrestleFest. What else did I do?
I'm sure you did another one. I'm not 100% on that.
I was playing retro, what's it called? Retro Soft Wrestling.
Maybe that's what it was.
That was in the bottom playing rather than a retro.
Right. Game. I knew there was a third retro wrestling.
Yeah, and that's, that one's like spiritual successor to WrestleFest. So it uses.
Have you
ever
actually gone to any actual wrestling like matches? Like, have you ever been to any? No,
unfortunately not.
Playing games, okay.
I was mad on it from like 1988 until 94.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from about age 7 to 13 or so. And I guess at that time, when I would have wanted to go, neither of my folks were willing to really take me. Like, my dad would sort of put up with it and he would become his liked Undertaker. That was his guy. He'd take more interest in Undertaker's matches than the rest. And of course, Undertaker did it for, like, what, 30 years or something, and he's retired now. But my mum hated it with a passion. So
I've never into the wrestling thing myself. I was never into that.
No, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just a because you're about 7.5 years older than me. Maybe it's just a generation thing.
Something like that. Thanks for letting me know how much older I am than you.
All right. Sorry. I'm not like I'm a spring chicken. You've got damn so more hair than I have, mate.
fair enough. Is that the trade-off? Is it? I've got more hair, but I'm older.
Oh yeah. Anyway, sorry. So LGN published this game, and they didn't have a very good reputation, unfortunately, for they published a lot of bad games. Mm-hmm. But most 8-bit wrestling games at the time, especially the ones on the NES, were particularly bad. And this one on the Game Boy, because it was made by Rare, was the first portable wrestling game that had ever been made. And it's only got 5 wrestlers in it. So that the 5 are Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Mr. Perfect. Even though the Game Boy has got like a very basic sound chip, they've all got their accurate intro music like they had in real life. They used to come down to the ring in. And it's very basic. I don't think it's got much in the way of modes. It's pretty much beat all the wrestlers, like pick one of the 5, beat the rest of them to become WWF champion. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
The moves aren't overly complicated. It's probably even like less complicated than WrestleFest was, but came out around the same sort of time because that was on much more powerful hardware in the arcades. But it's got a decent amount of moves. I think each wrestler's got one unique move. I'm trying to cast my mind back. I haven't played this game for like 30 years, or best part of. And again, it was one of the like 5 or 6 games I had on the Game Boy. So played it quite a lot for that. I think it probably did have multiplayer if you had a link cable and you knew someone else that had a Game Boy and a copy of the game.
Yep.
But I think the amount I played multiplayer on original Game Boy is very limited because it was so seldom that you had a friend coming around and you had a link cable and you both had a copy of the game.
Yeah.
I don't think any of my friends had this game.
No, that's what it's reliant on, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, with a little link cable.
Yeah. But just for the fact that Rare made this and there was sequels on the Game Boy, like they did WWF Superstars 2. I think there's like maybe 5 or 6 different wrestling games on the original Game Boy / Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
But I think they're all probably worse.
Right.
Than this first one that Rare did. And I don't think Rare ever did any more after this first one.
Yeah.
I don't really know how they ended up working on it in the first place. You know,
no,
they had the license.
Yeah. Interesting that Rare made that a wrestling game. Yeah.
Because licensed games, especially in the 80s and 90s, had a massive reputation for being terrible.
Yeah.
Like, Viracom's good licensed games were very few and far between back then.
Yeah.
On the 8-bit and 16-bit machines.
Are Rare working on anything at the moment, or did they shut them down?
No, you don't think they've been shut down.
No, they're still going. They're obviously, they're part of Xbox Game Studios now.
So they do Sea of Thieves.
They did Sea of Thieves. They're still working on that then, probably, aren't they?
Yeah, because that's like a live service, isn't it?
A live service game.
Yeah.
I was just wondering whether they're working on anything else. So I'm quick back while we're talking and see if they probably don't need to if they're working on Sea of Thieves, really, because there's a PlayStation 5 version and a PC version of that now.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're working on a new game, Everwild.
There's been a trailer, but not much since.
Coming out on the Windows and Xbox Series consoles, Everwild adventure game. So it's been announced.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, Gary Napo, previously the lead for Alien Isolation. Oh, okay. Lead designer for Alien Isolation. That was a good game. That's one to look out for then. Says it's targeting a 2024 release. Well, that's not happened, has it? So maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows? Mm. That's interesting. Oh, yes, they are working on a new game. But like you say, Sea of Thieves is probably keeping them going, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is that new version of Perfect Dark. But Rare aren't making it.
Who's making it? Do you know?
Isn't it Eidos?
Could be, yeah.
Making it,
I played Perfect Dark Zero on the Xbox 360. It's one of the launch games.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a great game.
No, so the original on N64 that Rare made is really good.
Yes.
Like, it's arguably even better than GoldenEye.
Yes, probably, yeah. Yeah, it was a good one.
But I never really played the 360 one.
It was an okay game. It just wasn't as good as the original,
which
is unfortunate. Yeah.
And then this new one
looks
good, but apparently it's got some behind-the-scenes troubles. I think it's meant to be this year, but it may well get delayed to next year.
Yeah, probably, right? Probably. So I think that leads us into Platinum Watch. I've only got four more trophies to get until I get the Platinum. So five more trophies, including the Platinum.
Right.
Like I say, I'm running through New Game Plus, like I said earlier.
That's in Lies of P.
Sorry?
That's in Lies of P.
Lies of P, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got to collect all the records. I've got to get the special weapons. I've got to get the third ending, and I've got to complete one of the NPC story quest lines, because there's two different ways you can go with that quest line, which is why I've got to do New Game Plus.
Right.
So hopefully, although I probably won't talk about it on the next podcast, it'll be the one after. I will have got the Platinum by then, and I can move on from Lies of P.
Yeah.
You're intending to get the Platinum for Monster Hunter Wales, aren't you?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm on 35% of trophies so far.
What's the? Have you looked at what the biggest trophy is to grind for that game?
It's probably going to be either Giant or Miniature Crowns.
Right.
Which is, so the biggest version, like the say you've got a Rathalos, is like the fire wyvern dragon type monster. You get different sizes of that monster, and the biggest version of that will give you a giant crown, and then every monster in the game has a giant crown version as well as a miniature crown for like the smallest version.
Are you saying munch crown or minch crown?
Miniature crown.
All right. I thought you were saying munch. What's a munch crown?
So that will probably be a bunch of grinding to get those. Although apparently they've added in, so the game's had binoculars in it for a little while, and if you use the binoculars to look at a monster in the distance when you start a quest, it'll highlight it if it's got a giant crown or a miniature crown. So then that tells you straight away, and in theory, if it hasn't, you can just quit out and then load the quest again, and RNG, hopefully it will do next time. So that definitely makes it easier than it did in World.
Did you get the Platinum for World?
I did, yeah.
Did, yeah.
And so, I only didn't get the Platinum for Iceborne expansion, because there was too much bullshit photography.
Yeah, I remember you saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the only reason I didn't get it for that. I think I got to like 74% for Iceborne and smacked it off. But from having a quick look at the trophy list for Wilds, it doesn't really seem to be anything particularly out of the ordinary that I wouldn't just do from just playing the game anyway. So
time consuming, you've got to put the hours into to get the trophies. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck with that. I'm sure you will. That, and when you get that, and that will give you 7 platinums when you get that.
That will be my 7th if I get that, yeah.
Nice one. Cool. We love platinums around here. Oh, I do anyway.
Yeah, so that Ninja Turtles collection is on PS Plus now.
Apparently it's quite simple to get the platinum.
Yeah, along with Sonic Colors and what was the other one this month? Oh, Dragon Age Veilguard. It's only been out for 4 months.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be playing that.
Just... No, well, I added them all to library. But
oh, yeah, I always do that.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I will do that. So I've got the ability to play them if I want to. But,
yeah,
you know, I think the next big RPG that I'm going to do is probably Avowed when I get back to that. And then also Atom Falls out soon.
Right, yeah.
But I'll probably play and complete and platinum Assassin's Creed Shadows before Atom Fall, because Atom Fall is going to be on Game Pass. So I can play that whenever I want, really. Well, as long as it stays on Game Pass for a while.
Yes.
You know. So that brings us on to this week's topic, which is, do we prefer purchasing physical games, as in disc-based games, or do we prefer downloading digital games? Now, I never really bought any games digitally until the Xbox 360.
Right.
I can't remember if the original Xbox had a storefront or not. I don't think it did. Going off memory. So yeah, the 360 was when I first downloaded digital games that I hadn't paid for because they came free with Xbox Live or whatever.
We used to have Live Gold.
I think the first digital thing I downloaded was Carsacom, which is like a digital version of a board game.
Right.
Where it's like hexagons that you have to color in and do sorts of things. I can't remember exactly.
What I'm thinking of Hexic.
Maybe it was Hexic.
Same thing.
Why was I thinking Carsacom then? Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Hexic because it came with the Xbox 360, I think.
Yeah.
First taste of a digital game, because up until that point, I'd always bought physical games. And I bought physical games for a long, long time. I bought the odd game here and there on the PS3 era. Where I would buy a couple digitally, and then obviously it started with PS Plus. But PS5, the majority of my PS5 games are digital and not physical, because I don't know. It's not like I changed my mind on physical games. I'm kind of torn on this one, which one I prefer. I like the convenience of having digital games because they're just there and you can play them. And it doesn't matter whether the disc gets knackered or whatever, you still got the game.
Yeah.
But the price difference is not what I don't like, because why is a digital game 60 quid, the same as a physical game?
70 quid on PlayStation.
When there's no packaging, there's no, you know, they don't have to do anything, they just... Why is it the same price or more?
Well,
it doesn't. That's what I don't like about it. You know, I've got quite a few PS5 physical games that I have bought. Like if I want access to a game that I know I might trade in later on, like if I platinum it and complete it and I'm never going to play it again, I might buy the disc version because I know I can. Well, CEX is still the only place now that takes trade-ins. Nowhere else does, you know, in a retail.
Yeah, GameStop doing it.
GameStop doing it. So, you know, it's only CEX now, which they don't give you that much for the games anyway. So I'm from my perspective, I'm going to have to say, I think given what I've bought over the last couple of years, I probably prefer digital games, which I would never thought I would say, just because of the pure convenience of it. That's my take on it. What about you?
So same sort of as you to an extent. Back in the day it was all very much physical, and I have still got a physical games collection. There's a bunch of them on my shelf. And if you asked me, I guess in general I'd say that these days I'm like 60-40, 60 being digital and 40 being physical. But saying that, I think I've got 2 PS5 games on physical.
Right.
and the rest are digital.
What about your Switch? Have you got all physical on Switch?
No, I've got quite a few digital on Switch as well because I got a bigger card.
Yeah, I got a 128 gig card in mine, I think. Yeah.
I don't know how big one is. Maybe 256.
Yeah. I'm sure mine's 128. It might be 256, but yeah.
Yeah, it's big anyway.
Yeah.
I've not run out of space since I've had it.
No.
And then it's sort of, I think that Switch or Switch 2 is potentially going to be the last ever machine that will play physical media.
Right.
Because I think that PS6 and whatever the new Xbox is going to be called will probably both be disc driveless.
Well, the PS5 Pro doesn't come with a disc drive.
No, but you can buy an extra one.
Yeah, you have to purchase it separately. So I can kind of see what you're saying there.
So
I guess it makes sense, but not everybody has access to the internet.
No.
So if you want to buy a new generation console, whatever it's going to be called, probably PS6 and Xbox, the new Xbox, that's what Microsoft like. Like, for example, the new version of Microsoft Teams is called New Teams.
Yeah.
And the new version of Outlook is called New Outlook. So maybe we'll call the next Xbox New Xbox.
Maybe.
I'm taking a piss. But, you know, PS6, whatever it's going to be, you could be right. They might be digital only, which should be...
I don't even know if they're going to, have the optional disk drive thing with PS6. It might just be only play digital games. And the whole thing about some people don't have access to the internet kind of falls down with the PS5 Pro because you need the internet to make the add-on disk drive work.
Exactly.
You have to...
It has to connect to the internet to activate the drive, doesn't it?
Activate it, yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder whether Switch 2 will be the last of being able to buy a physical. I think I've got at least one physical pre-order still to come for Xenoblade Chronicles X next month on the Switch.
Right.
Well, this month, though, I guess. March 20th.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. So, although I probably would tell you I'm 60-40 to digital, it's probably higher than that these days.
Yeah. But
I have got friends who are staunchly anti-digital.
Really?
And some of them, I have one friend at least who is that anti-digital that he will, even if I point out to him when the digital copy is cheaper than the physical, he will still buy the physical for more money. And his argument would always be that you don't actually own your digital games.
No, you buy the license to play it. Yes, which is accurate. It's accurate.
Yeah, but then the platform holders such as Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo could just take that back off you anytime they wanted.
You would have thought that they wouldn't do that, but they have done it with a few games.
Yeah. And Sony, it was some TV stuff. They were selling videos, is it Discovery documentaries or something?
That's right, yeah.
The licenses expired, and they literally just reached in and took them off of people's consoles.
Yeah, they did. Which, that's the price of having digital only. It's your friend says, it's a license to access that bit of content, and it's the same applies to games. So, yeah.
And as we saw with the outage a little while ago, they're so fragile, it doesn't take very much for everything just to be completely FUBAR.
Yeah.
And if you've got nothing but digital games, when that sort of thing happens, you can't play anything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So there are pros and cons. Or digital only for definite.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're probably 60-40 split is probably about right. But like I say, with the next gen of consoles, it might be, like I say, digital only.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an interesting discussion. That one was glad we did that. So this week's Hot or Not. Mm-hmm. Now I can talk about this game for absolutely forever because it's my favorite video game of all time. I won't go on about it forever because this could turn into a 3-hour podcast. But it's The Witcher 3.
Mm.
So this game's nearly 10 years old.
Wow.
This game came out in May 2015 on the Xbox One and PS4 consoles and PC. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I played The Witcher 2 and I really enjoyed The Witcher 2 on the Xbox 360. That was the upgrade version that came out on PC. So they made some special additions to the Xbox 360 version. I didn't know a lot about The Witcher at that time. I just knew there's this like kind of niche game where you play this Witcher who is enhanced abilities, an enhanced human effectively, drinks potions, puts oils on his sword, fights monsters, that kind of thing. But The Witcher 3 is where it really took off. I mean, it inspired me after I completed it to read the books, which I'm not a big reader. And I've read about half the books that have come out, I think.
All right, okay. I listened to the audiobook version of the first one after the TV series came out, because the first season of the TV series wasn't particularly easy to follow.
No, but the problem with the first season is they didn't really explain it, that it jumps back and forward in time.
Yeah.
It didn't really explain that when you was watching it. So to people who weren't familiar with The Witcher, it was confusing. It was even confusing people who didn't know about it. So they kind of made that bit better in the second season.
Yeah. So I listened to the audiobook of the first book, which is like a collection of short stories.
Yeah.
And went back and rewatched season one after doing that. And it did make more sense.
Yeah, definitely. So the actual game is not based on any books. It's set after all the books that came out at the time. It's actually set a good few years after, because in the books, Ciri is young and then she's a teenager in the later books. In the game, she's actually a woman, a young-ish woman. Probably late 20s, I think she is in the game. She's like the central focus of Geralt, who is the Witcher in the game. And it's when I first started playing it, it sets it up really well that he's with Yennefer, who's like his on-off girlfriend throughout the books, and they're getting ready to go to fancy dinner or whatever. And you play, that's your opening section. And it just blows my mind how big the game actually is. You don't realize when you first start how, because the main campaign, if you just mainline it, it's still 50 hours to complete. And that's just the main game. If you want to explore everything in the game, it's like over 100 hours or more. Yeah. Like I've played through the game in its entirety 4 times.
Right.
So at this point, I'm over 1,000 hours.
Wow.
Over the 4 playthroughs. And I started a 5th playthrough on the PS5 version, which I'm about 85 hours into. 85, yeah. And I haven't completed the main campaign because I just love going around the world as Geralt, getting into adventures, you know, fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm.
It's such I think CD Projekt Red at that time, they were so passionate about the game. Every aspect of the game is almost perfect, almost, not quite. Like the music is brilliant. The acting is brilliant. The animations are great. You know, everything works. There's a few niggles in the game. Like when the game first came out, it was an absolute buggy mess. It was nowhere near as bad as Cyberpunk, but it was bad. There were some bad bugs in it, but they sorted out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's still got bugs in it now, but they're not going to fix it now. They're not going to go back and fix it.
No, but surely the bugs it's still got now are minor. And
they are very minor bugs now, very minor bugs comparatively, you know. And I've got the music from the base game and from the 2 expansions. I've got them on my phone so I can listen to them anytime in the car, at home, whenever, because the music is fantastic. There's actually a Witcher concert happening this year across the world. They're going to different locations to celebrate 10 years of The Witcher 3, which I don't know if I'll be able to get tickets to go to that, and I probably won't be. I'll probably left it too late now. But definitely a hot for me, this.
Yeah.
I would say super hot. Because I could, if I had that game to play and nothing else, it wouldn't bother me because I could play that game so much. I love it. It even inspired me to get my one and only tattoo that I've got on my left arm, which is in the game he uses 5 spells that you can use.
Yeah.
And they've all got symbols, and I've got those symbols as a tattoo on my left arm.
All 5 symbols?
Yeah. They're just doing a straight line on my left arm. So it's the only tattoo I've ever thought about getting ever. And I finally got it in January last year. Nice. Which the only other one I thought about getting is he's got two swords. He's got a silver sword and a steel sword. Steel swords he uses for human or humanoids, and silver sword he uses for monsters. Maybe getting that on my right arm, which I haven't done that yet. But I mean, that was a difference in the game. He got the in the game he had his silver sword on his back, and he had the steel sword on his horse.
Right,
and that's why that's what's in the series in the Netflix series. That's the way they do it there. But in the game, he's got both swords on his back because from from a gameplay point of view, you're not going to run back to your horse, get your sword. It's it doesn't really work in the game context. Although the packaging on the front of the game, he's got his silver sword on his back and he's got a sealed sword in his belt. So again, in the drawing on the packaging of the game, I don't know why it must be just like a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Because you've played some of The Witcher 3, haven't you?
I have. I mean, I'm not going to upset you and put it into the not category. It's definitely in the hot.
Mate, if you think it's a not, it's fine. I ain't got
a problem. No, it's not a not. It's just very overwhelming. So the first time I tried it, I played it for however long, got to the Red Baron quest line, and then went away, didn't have my console with me for a week, and came back, and there was like a million question marks on the map, and I didn't obviously know how to recenter it to show me where I was going, didn't know what I was doing, and just sort of came to the conclusion that I was going to have to, like I'd done like 15 or 20 hours at that point, and I was going to have to start again, and I just couldn't, I just gave up, it's a bad job, and that was the end of it.
Totally fair.
And then I restarted it again recently on the Xbox because it's enhanced for the Series X. But of course, that meant that my old save file was incompatible with the new version. So I'd start again. And I did the Red Baron questline. So I have got past where I was first time round. I'm in, what's the city called?
There's Velen, there's Novigrad. There's Skellige.
I think I'm in either Novigrad or Skellige. I'm in one of those two anyway.
No, you're in Skellige because they're all Irish.
Oh, right, yeah. So I'm in whichever city is, and I was with, what's the red-haired?
Triss Marigold.
I was with Triss, and I was helping her like clear out some rats.
Yes.
That was what I did last time I played it. And for whatever reason, I put it down again. I was disliking it. I think there was just something else came out that I really wanted to play. So Witcher got put aside and I haven't gone back to it again since. It's not to say I won't one day, but the sheer size of the game is intimidating. Like fact that one of the expansions, is it Blood and Wine?
Yep.
Is bigger than the entirety of Witcher 2.
That's correct.
That's mad.
It is mad. I mean, when I first played Blood and Wine, that came out about a year after... I think it came out in the May 2016, so it'd been out. It was great because Blood and Wine was like a whole another Witcher game with Geralt in it from Witcher 3. That's how big the expansion was. It was massive. And it was great because it was like playing a whole new game again. Even though it had the same mechanics, the same character, but you know, he's in a different environment in Toussaint, which is basically France. You know, and fantastic, one of the best DLC packs for a game ever, I think. So good. I've only played through Blood and Wine once, I think, its entirety. I played through the base game four times, but Blood and Wine I've only played through once. Heart of Stone I played through twice, but I want to play through Blood and Wine again on the PS5 version because it is such a good expansion and it properly like underscores Geralt's quests and storyline at the end of Blood and Wine. It's a proper ending for him, really. You know, it is a good piece of DLC, and that's I'm excited for The Witcher 4. You know, I hope CD Projekt Red can put the same passion that they did into 3 with Ciri as the main character. You know, I think it should be, well, I'm hopeful it should be a really good game. So you're going to say hot then? Or you're going to say not?
Yeah, I would say it's a hot, but I was going to say that if I do go back to it, I'll probably just focus on the base game and won't play the DLCs. and try and at least finish off the story in the main game before I even think about. And if I have really enjoyed doing that main game, at that point I potentially would look at whether I want to do the DLCs as well. But like I say, it's so intimidating. It's such a big, huge. It's not bloated. That's the thing. It's not. I wouldn't say it's like a.
It's not bloated. Yeah, no, it's not bloated. I think the barrier for a lot of people in The Witcher is the control scheme, because it is it takes some getting used to. There's so much.
I'm pretty bad at the combat.
Because not only have you got your spells, you've got your silver sword and your steel sword. You can put oils on each sword depending on what you're fighting. You've got your bombs, you've got your crossbow, you've got all sorts of different potions that you can take to enhance your ability. It's a lot. Mm. It does take a while to get used to. And parrying in that game is really hard. You might as well not bother trying to parry in that game. You've just got no form. But the parry system in that game is pretty enough compared to, you know, I was saying, it's not a perfect game. You know, parrying in that game is really, I don't even bother with it. I tried it a few times, like, no, it's not worth parrying in this game. You can even parry crossbows if you're quick enough. You know what I mean? Like arrows, bolts that come from crossbows or arrows, you can actually parry them. But you've got to be really good at parrying, and it's no good, really. But yeah, there's actually a trophy for parrying, is it 15 or 20 arrows? And there's a certain place you can do it in the game, which is quite easy to do, but you've got to time it right. So, yeah, because I've actually got the platinum for The Witcher 3 twice. I got it on the original version, and then the Game of the Year edition. There was a completely different trophy set because it had all the DLC with it as well. It was a different platinum, so I got the platinum for that. Potentially, I might get it again on the PS5 version. Which is mad, isn't it?
It's three
in game, so yeah. But maybe we'll have to do a Witcher special in the future. Although, you know,
when Witcher 4 comes out.
Before the Witcher 4 comes out, yeah. So I think that brings us back to the end of Hot or Not. And then I think it's what I've been watching this week, isn't it? What we've been watching on TV. Yeah,
so I've only got one.
Yeah.
So today I've been watching Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Netflix series when it came out.
Me too.
I even watched The Defenders, and I watched Luke Cage. I watched them all when they came out on Netflix.
I did majority of them. So I did Jessica Jones. I did Luke Cage. I did The Defenders. I think I started Iron Fist. Didn't really like it.
I liked Iron Fist. I think Iron Fist got a bad rap. They made two seasons of it, but I liked it.
I don't think I even finished the first season.
Fair enough. A lot of people didn't like it. Yeah,
I just wasn't that keen.
This Born Again, I don't know much about it. Is it set in the same continuity of the original series? Is it 5 years later, 10 years later, or
maybe five?
Five.
They've only seen the first two, but I know. Do you know they restarted it?
Yeah.
So originally, the Foggy and Karen characters from the Netflix series weren't in the new
movie. They weren't going to be in it, were they? But they are in it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good.
It stopped because of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And then after the writer's strike finished, they scrapped everything they'd done so far and restarted it. And so brought Foggy and Karen back into it in this.
Because they're important characters, I think. They're good actors as well. So.
Yeah. So in theory, this is kind of like season four. Although it's called Born Again, it's kind of like a, it's not really a soft reboot, it's kind of continuation.
Good.
And you've still got Wilson Fisk.
Yeah, he's a good character.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio does him very well.
Very well.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Daredevil, Charlie Cox, he's fantastic.
I can't imagine him ever getting anyone else to play him at this point.
You go back and watch Stardust with him in, because he's so different in that.
I'm trying to have seen that. Is that the one Michelle Pfeiffer in it?
That's it. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's in it. Claire Danes, Robert De Niro is in it. It's a good film. It's actually quite a good film. Yeah.
So I think I've got Matt's copy on Duvda that he lent me, I think, and he just never really had it back.
Yeah, it's a good film. He's good in it. It's really good.
I enjoyed it, but I think I watched it like 5 years ago and I haven't watched it again since.
I've watched it twice. It's been a while since I watched it. I remember being enjoying it. And it's
I don't remember him being in that.
No, he's like the main character in it.
Oh, really?
He looks different, though. He does look different. Right. So, yeah.
Not got the glasses and he's not blind.
No, not at all. But he's a good actor. I like him.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to watch that. Yeah. I actually watched something as well. I know I said I haven't watched much TV.
I was just going to say that of the two episodes I've watched, I'm not going to talk anything about what happens in them because I know you've not seen it.
Yeah.
And the majority of our listeners haven't done either. So I don't want to drop any spoilers or anything, but just be prepared. It's full on.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Might even watch it tonight.
Nice.
But yeah, I actually watched an episode of a TV show called Paradise.
All right, what's that?
Came out. It was out in Hulu in America, but over here it's on Disney Plus.
Right.
And it's got the guy from, oh God, he was in The Predators, black guy. I can't remember his bloody name. But it's got James Marsden in it, and he plays the president. And the trailer shows you that he's president, and the main guy in it is his Secret Service agent, his head Secret Service agent. Right. And they're guarding him, and they go up to his room, and he's been shot dead, like the president.
Oh, wow.
So that's like in the trailer. And it's the first episode shows you, like, in flashback, how he became a Secret Service agent and how the president became president, etc. I've only seen one episode. It seems okay. I think it's eight episodes. Me and Danielle watched it, me and my daughter, and we thought it was okay. I think she liked it better than I did, but I probably will watch more. But I'm more excited to watch Daredevil Born Again for sure.
Yeah. So Daredevil's on Disney Plus now.
Yes.
On Netflix.
Yes.
And I think it's the first time I've watched anything on Disney Plus for a little while. It's got adverts. When did that start?
Yeah, it happened a while ago now. I think the tier that I'm on doesn't have adverts. I think I'm on the $8.99 a month tier.
Right.
But if you're on the $4.99 or $5.99 tier, whatever it is, that's got adverts on it.
So we don't pay for Disney Plus.
It's part of your subscription, isn't it?
Yeah, so Jose and I are both on the EE, and you get a benefit with your phone contract for EE. So mine is they pay for my Game Pass.
Yeah.
So that's like saving me like, what, $17.99 a month or whatever it is now. Yeah. And then Jose's not really that much of a gamer, so he uses his to pay for Disney Plus and then just shares that with the rest of the household.
Yeah.
So I presume that they only pay for the cheapest one for you.
Which is fair enough, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you really wanted it without adverts, we could, you know, pay.
Yeah, like the Amazon Prime that I've got, they've been a bit cheekier. They charge $8.99 a month. And if you don't want it with adverts, you've got to pay another $2.99 a month to not
have it. Yeah, and it's another £3. So we do that because we split the Amazon cost between us.
Right, that makes sense.
Splitting it between the three of us, it means it's only an extra pound each a month, so it's not too bad.
Not too bad, no. No, I don't watch Prime as much as I used to. I kind of cycle between them. Like I haven't my Netflix. I don't have Netflix at the moment, but I use Danielle's Netflix.
Right.
You know, and she uses my Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. You know, that's just the way.
I'm surprised that Netflix aren't trying to charge her extra when they realise that someone outside of her household is using it.
Yeah, no. They said they were going to clamp down on that, but. Not done anything through from it yet.
Right. Okay.
Right. I think we're coming to the end of the show, then, haven't we?
Yeah.
So the social medias that we're on is TikTok, and that's Two Guys, Three Consoles.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Instagram with the same at Two Guys, Three Consoles.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Blue Sky, same Two Guys, Three Consoles.
Yeah.
We've got a Discord that we set up a few weeks ago. So there's that if you want to go to that. Our email address is all words, two guys, three consoles @yahoomail.com. And my personal Instagram is mleach26.
Yeah.
Personal Blue Sky is mattleach1.
Great. So on Instagram, I am j_monster. Blue Sky, I am J Monster without the underscore, no space.
Nice. Cool. Well, look out for our special next week. Monster Hunter Wild special. Look forward to that. And that's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. And
yeah, thank you, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Bye.